John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey friends, it's me again. You know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. If you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in and give me a thumb. Say hi while you're at it. Helps me a ton with that damn algorithm. And besides, it's always nice to see you there. All right then, let's hop on that crazy train.
All aboard!
Hey, hope you all had a nice Thanksgiving, friends. And if you're not exactly feeling the Black Friday spirit, I've got good news for you. It's also National Buy Nothing Day. So no matter what kind of shape your wallet's in today, you still get to celebrate. Ain't that terrific? Well, me personally, Chester, I'm celebrating the latter. But you know what? I think things are about to turn around any minute now. I can feel it. Come on in, friend. Let's talk business. All right, that's better. So, first of all, check out simplyscarypodcast.com where you can become a patron for as little as $7.99 a month. That's the entire catalog dating back to 2012, ad-free and available to download or stream. On top of that, you can check out patreon.com/DrewBlood. You get more than 20 hours of me, Jeff, and Paul telling stories and making asses of ourselves. You can even hear about the time I shot a hobo in the face. It's a true story. Jeff loves that one. So anyway, tonight we welcome back author Jason Fisher. This one comes from his book, Your Place is Here Now, available from Velox Books. In it, an intruder has invaded Mike's house and is holding his daughter hostage. And the intruder's demand is anything but ordinary. So without further delay, from author Jason Fisher, I give you Balzar's Last Act.
I won't hurt her if you cooperate.
His daughter's room was so dark that Mike could barely make out the silhouette of the intruder. What he did see made him feel sick. Glaring at the glowing face hovering over Vivian, Mike knew he had to still be asleep, but his pounding heart brought doubt. The edge of a wide butcher knife caught a streak of moonlight, illuminating his daughter's sleeping face. The impulse to leap forward and tackle the man who had climbed in from the window made Mike shake. The knife was too close to her to take the gamble. Instead, he feebly asked,
"What did you say?"
"I need you to do something for me."
The crazy man's voice cracked on the last word as he laughed, sounding like he had gravel in his throat. In the dim light, the shadow looked like an enormous clown face floating on top of a spindly body.
"I don't have any real money here. Not more than maybe $20. Payday isn't until Friday," Mike said.
"I don't need your money. Your job is why I'm here."
Mike took a step closer, his eyes glued to the knife, imagining the blade piercing Vivian's skin. Sweat oozed out of every pore.
"My job? What? Why? You must have mistaken me for someone else. I'm a janitor."
"Yes. Who has keys to the museum? I need you to get something for me from the magician's exhibit."
Mike thought he was possibly dealing with an addict, The quick cadence of his voice and his fidgety hands reminded him of those burdened with addiction. Thinking he could possibly reason with the man who held his daughter's life in the balance did little to calm him.
"Please, just leave."
He swallowed hard.
I won't call the cops. Just walk away, and it'll be like none of this happened."
Mike stared at the beady eyes, trying to guess the intruder's thoughts. Screeching laughter erupted from the stranger. With his free hand, he covered his enormous lips, which stretched ear to ear. Mike glanced at Vivian's face. She stirred, but somehow remained asleep. The intruder took a small step back. Moonlight from the open window removed the shadow covering his face. What Mike was hoping was a trick of his imagination was confirmed by the dim light. The man holding the butcher knife was made up to look like a clown. The pasty white makeup was interrupted by large, arching, and pencil-thin eyebrows and a red mouth so big that the lips looked like they would swallow up the face. A round nose was crookedly attached, like a partially deflated balloon.
"I caution you to ignore the laughter."
The lispy voice was disrupted by another chuckle that was muffled by a gloved hand. The long fingers parted, exposing crooked, stained teeth.
"If you don't cooperate, I will do whatever I must."
The knife came closer to Vivian, its pointed tip inches from her face. Tensing, Mike raised his hands in a halting motion.
"Buddy, I'll do whatever you want. Please, please get that away from her."
The clown's painted eyes opened wider, glistening in the moonlight.
"This can be over quickly and without anyone getting hurt. I just need you to get into the museum and go to Exhibit 8. There you will find the magician's bag. It's labeled Balzar's Bag of Tricks. Inside there will be a jar of transforming powder."
"You won't. What? Powder? You're threatening my daughter for that? It can't be worth anything."
"It's everything."
Vivian turned, pulling on her worn Care Bears blanket Mike had gotten her at the thrift store.
"Look, I'll get you whatever you want, pal."
He thought Vivian was still asleep. Despite his own fear, he was thankful for that. He couldn't cope with the thought of her waking up to a madman hovering over her. Trying to sound calm, he said,
"We can go right now, okay?"
He gestured toward the door, attempting to lure him out of the room.
I can't go with you. You'll go and get it."
He chewed on his lower lip, making the makeup around his lips wrinkle.
"Look, I'm not leaving her alone with you.
You haven't a choice."
With the tip of the knife, he caressed the blanket, edging closer to her tiny head.
"Don't test me. Her life means nothing to me."
Mike clenched his fists. One flick of the clown's wrist could end life as he knew it. Desperate, he pleaded,
"Look, I'll give you the keys. You would have to hide from only a single security guard this early. You'll be in and out."
"I can't go."
There was no longer any doubt that the man was insane and could not be reasoned with. As Mike contemplated his next move, Vivian sat up, rubbing sleep from her eyes.
"Daddy, why are you yelling?"
The urge to hug his 4-year-old overwhelmed him. Trying to sound calm, he said,
"Go back to sleep, Sugar Plum."
It was too late. Looking up, her mouth opened wide as she shrieked. The clown slapped his hand across her mouth, muffling her with a dirty gloved hand. Putting the knife just below her throat, he cried out,
"Go now and leave your phone!"
He let out a sharp, piercing cackle.
If you call the police when you get there, you'll never see her again.
Mike's eyes were glued to the glistening metal against her soft skin, trying to will the man away with his stare. Witnessing Vivian losing a piece of her innocence at the hand of a demented clown brought waves of nausea. Desperate to take her pain away, he called out,
"Please, can't we come up with another plan?
Go now!"
The madness in the man's eyes stopped any thought of rushing the deranged man. Mike knew deep inside that he had no choice. He had to leave, but he still stood frozen, unable to move. Taking a deep breath, he said,
"Honey, Daddy has to go out for a few minutes."
Her muffled shriek of no ran through him like acid in his veins. Slick sweat covered his skin, trying to cool the burning furnace inside him.
"It'll be all right, honey. I promise. Put your phone down now."
Mike obeyed, placing it on Vivian's dresser. His stomach was beginning to spasm.
"Viv, I'll be back soon. Everything will be all right."
Just as he was walking out of the room, imagining the clown harming his child, Mike vomited into his hand as he walked through the tiny kitchenette out the door. 8 hours later, he sat slumped at his kitchen table, feeling as if whatever energy was normally stored inside a human had been permanently removed. When he left his apartment, he had run to the first floor, waking his landlord, and called the police. As he waited for them to come, he watched through the peephole for the man to go down the front stairs as his landlord watched the back fire escape. Their efforts hadn't paid off. When the police arrived, they found his apartment empty. They explained that the man possibly went to the roof and then to the adjoining building to escape. The female detective in charge had been the only one to reassure him that he had made the right choice by calling them in. The other officer stared at him accusingly, adding to Mike's paranoia that his choice might have cost him his daughter. After an hour had gone by, no call had come, reinforcing his fear. Every minute that ticked by brought a growing emptiness like nothing he had ever experienced. This was even worse than when Vivian's mother abandoned them without so much as a text. Searching for answers, he had spent the last hour scouring the internet for any information on the bag the man was holding his daughter hostage for, hoping it would lead him back to Vivian. After endless searching, he finally found a website dedicated to stories of the unexplained. Desperately, he read, "Balthazar the Great was a Hungarian-born magician who in the early 1900s had a reputation for being so gifted that many believed he had actually mastered the dark arts. His act was mainly what would be expected, sawing a woman in half, rabbits in hats, etc. But he had a specialty that year after year kept filling audiences in the playhouses he toured. The larger-than-life magician was known for having the ability to permanently change people's appearances. Despite his popularity, the magician was rumored to be a volatile man who struggled with his temper. In several towns where he performed, Balthazar reportedly had incidents with locals who were after his wife. Liska was 10 years his junior, and many described her as the most alluring woman they had ever seen. In the town of New Bremen, Illinois, where the magician's family had immigrated to when Balthazar was a young man, an audience member by the name of Aikman was reported to have been turned into a ventriloquist dummy as part of the act when the unsuspecting man made a pass at the magician's assistant. On stage, after a lotion was boiled into smoke, Aikman first looked wooden, and as the act progressed, appeared to shrink to the size of a small child, The stunned audience applauded as they watched the unbelievable illusion. Later that evening, several townspeople reported a miniature wooden man walking up and down Main Street in the middle of the night, begging for help. Most suspected that the doll was a prop used to promote the show. However, Aikman's cousin claimed he had spoken to the tiny man, and the dummy had intimate knowledge of their family. Days later, a missing persons report was filed, and Aikman was never heard from again. Mike's blood felt like syrup sludging its way through his veins as he looked at a hand drawing of a doll-like man walking up a suburban street. It had a long ghost-like shadow and a look of terror on the fake face that made Mike's heart skip a beat. Scrolling past the terrible image, he went back to the article, holding his phone farther away, as if it would protect him from what he was absorbing. Years later, just after Balzar came to another Midwestern town, a man showed up at a local hospital looking like a salamander. Doctors were baffled by the skin condition and sought to find the lotion Balzar had used in his act to see if an allergic reaction could have been the cause. Before anyone could locate the magician, the reptilian man passed away. During the autopsy, his internal organs were discovered to be human, despite his outward appearance. The rumors grew and spread that Balzar kept magical potions in a bag that was always at his side. They were reported to be able to conjure spirits and change the appearance of those who were unfortunate enough to come into contact with them. Just before he would perform, Balzar was known to lock himself away and meditate for days as he added ingredients to the potions and tonics. When the potions were ready, as part of his act, Balzar would heat them up or rub them on select audience members who would then act like farm animals, statues, or whatever else the audience would ask for. The performances were so convincing that most thought the participants chosen from the audience had been planted as part of the act. In a time before the internet, the legend of the magician's skills spread by word of mouth. Seeing him became a rite of passage for anyone who believed magic existed. In the late 1970s, after disappearing for nearly 10 years, Balzar gave his final performance, selling out the Chicago Visiting Star Theater. The link below is the only recorded footage of the once famous magician. A local woman was called onto the stage, and after lotion was applied, she was made to look like a chicken. Pay particular attention to the stage floor. Mike brought the phone close to his face, peering at the blurry video. The audio quality was so bad that he could hear nothing but buzzing static as he watched an attractive woman move like a chicken. After bobbing her head, her nose appeared to extend and her eyes shrank to tiny dots. Clucking as feathers appeared on her bare arms, she squatted and an egg appeared on the stage beneath her skirt. At that moment, the elderly magician stared directly into the camera, given a look of such deep understanding that it should never grace a human's face. The piercing eyes reminded Mike of the clown he had seen in his child's room. When his phone buzzed, Mike nearly jumped out of his skin. Seeing it was Detective Bradley, he clicked the answer button.
Mr. Williams?
Yeah.
His voice sounded like a frog croaking as he clicked out of the video. The image of the magician's eyes burned into his brain as he recalled the terror of watching the clown grab his daughter.
What's going on?
The desperation in his own voice brought a tear. As he wiped at it, he wondered how long someone could cry before they ran out of tears.
We found the man.
Adrenaline coursed through him as hope grew.
And Vivian?
Well, no. But we're bringing him to the station to interrogate him.
Her cry, like a phantom, echoed in his skull. You should have just gotten the man his bag. The same way you should have gotten a real job, and Vivian's mother would still be around. The self-loathing was crushing him.
I'll be there in a few minutes.
That would be good. I do need to caution you. Don't get your hopes up. He's not all there.
What do you mean?
He's severely mentally disturbed.
Not wanting to hear the warning that his daughter could be gone forever, he whispered,
I'll be there as soon as I can.
He hung up, sitting in the silence. Images of the clown's face and the insane laughter echoed in Mike's mind. Leaning back in his chair, he stared out the window into the city.
Oh, baby, where are you?
He pulled Vivian's blanket from his lap and breathed in it, smelling the cheap fruity shampoo they used, tracing the edges of the cartoon bears that his daughter had come up with ridiculous names for. He whispered,
Please, please be all right.
His voice cracked on the last word as he wept.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
Mike was sitting at the police station, drinking coffee as thick as motor oil. Every sip removed all the saliva from his mouth and throat. In the kinetic mess surrounding him, he stared at the door through which Detective Bradley had dragged the clown to question him. The longer he sat, the more doubt grew, making him question every decision he had made in the last 4 years since Vivian was born. Why hadn't he worked harder? If he had, Balzar wouldn't have targeted them. Why didn't he rush the man instead of leaving an innocent child alone? As he struggled with these thoughts, and dozens of others, the room was growing warm. So warm he was coated with sweat. Pulling him from his internal turmoil, Bradley came out of the interrogation room, looking years older than she had just a few hours ago. The oppressive fluorescent lighting made the bags under her eyes look like pillowcases. When she saw Mike, she made a pathetic attempt at a smile. Mike stood and nearly sprinted to her, hoping for good news. Bradley nodded toward a hallway to the right, with benches flanking its walls. It was littered with people who looked as if they had come from another planet. None of their clothes matched, and the expressions on their faces seemed cartoonish. When he was close to Bradley, he asked,
Well, did you get him to talk?
Yes.
She smelled like the man, rotten in the way wet garbage always smelled.
Where is she?
He won't say.
Are you kidding me?
Mike grabbed her arm, halting her progress. Her look made him jerk it away instantly.
Sorry.
She carefully straightened her jacket.
It's okay. It's been an emotional few hours.
How did you get him to talk?
Her keen stare made Mike feel nude. It was like she was hypnotizing him.
It's like I told you. He's mentally ill. I've worked him over. And he keeps insisting he's a magician named Balzar. I hate to say it, but traditional methods aren't going to work here, so we've called in a shrink.
The man's soulful eyes from the video floated through his head. Balzar? No. How could it be? His heart pounded furiously.
I don't know or care what this man's problem is. You need to get back in there and make him talk. Do you understand? Vivian's out there alone.
The outburst brought stares. A man who was missing a few fingers raised his hand in a Bronx cheer before he went back to staring at the ceiling, loudly counting the tiles.
We're doing everything we can. This man's sick in a way I haven't seen before. I'm hoping the shrink can open him up.
She shivered, rubbing her arms.
You know, on his face. Well, that's not makeup. We tried washing it off. It must be some kind of a tattoo or something. Officer Schmidt, who had watched him change, said his whole body was tattooed white, just like his face.
Her eyes narrowed.
Weirder than that, his gloves appear to be sewn on, embedded into his skin. We'll have to get a paramedic down here to see if they can cut him off so we can print him. When we tried to remove them, he screamed like he was dying.
Picturing the thin man undressed, his stomach muscles tightened.
How long before the doctor gets here?
Shouldn't be more than 15 minutes. Like I said before, it's important you don't get your hopes up. He's pretty far gone. When I asked him why he didn't go to the museum and steal the bag, he said his wife Liska was guarding it. He told me she's now a mannequin in the display. In a fit of rage, he changed her into a plastic woman when he found out she was cheating on him.
Mike remembered the beautiful form of a woman in the display that he passed every evening when he buffed the floors. Somehow, the story of a 120-year-old magician climbing through a bedroom window was becoming plausible, igniting the fear that was devouring him. He couldn't hear any more of this.
I need some air. Please call me if anything changes.
I understand.
She tucked her hair behind her ear.
We have people here if you need to talk to someone.
Thanks.
Unable to wait for information that might never come, Mike was determined to fetch the powder from the museum. He didn't know if it mattered anymore, but with every passing minute, he was growing surer that it was the only way to get his daughter back. Before the sun rose, Mike entered the museum exhibit, which opened with a fake woman's legs hanging out of a small box and a wax figure of a magician with a cloak over his face, happily sawing away. With most of the lights off, the mannequins and magician's tricks that were displayed held a menace he had never noticed before. After passing a large box with a moon on it, Mike stopped at the Balzar diorama. At the back of the display was a mannequin of a woman surrounded by odd gadgets. She had wavy brown hair and was dressed in a skimpy outfit. Her glass eyes reflected the dim light, making them appear as if they were shining. The stress from the last day wrapped itself around him. His anxiety grew to the point where he saw black lines floating across his field of vision. After removing the velvet rope, he glanced at the table with a worn leather bag in the center. When he grabbed the strap, he thought someone whispered,
"Leave it."
Anxiety rippled across his skin, going from boiling hot to freezing cold. Shivering, his head snapped up, and the mannequin's smiling face appeared to twitch.
"Get it together. Vivian needs this."
The words echoed as he stared at the plastic woman's red lips, hoping they wouldn't move. After a few seconds, he unzipped the bag and began rifling through it. The entire time, his back tensed, expecting someone to come from behind and pull him into darkness. There were assorted jars and tubes with handwritten labels: dog, reptile, youth, and doll. Notes from the magician were on a scroll of paper. The sketches beneath the scribbled words made bile rise in his throat. Each drawing was of limbs or parts of the anatomy, making it seem like a medical journal. Looking away into the corner, he saw a tiny man propped on a stool. The ventriloquist dummy appeared to stare through Mike. His heart was pounding as he pushed the papers aside. A cheap wand was at the bottom of the bag, and next to it was a jar labeled Transformation Powder. The lid was tight. It felt as if it were glued on. After struggling, he finally got it open. Inside was what looked like caked powder that smelled of incense, reminding Mike of church candles. Mike slipped the small jar into his pocket. Looking around the enclosed area, the mannequin seemed to be moving closer. Her high-heeled feet were only inches away from him now. His thoughts were moving so fast that it hurt to think. He slowly stepped back and tumbled over a chair, landing next to a wooden box shaped like a coffin. With its arms and fingers reaching out in an awkward gesture, the mannequin rocked back and forth. He saw life in the now blinking eyes as the female form stumbled, falling towards him. Rolling into the aisle, he got to his feet. He was no longer thinking. It was as if fear was controlling him now. Watching the mannequin's arms slowly stretch out, he sprinted away, trying to shake the sense that someone was grabbing at the back of his jacket. Reaching the stairs, he bounded down as fast as he could, too terrified to look back. Finally making it to the rear exit, he ran down the alley. Back at the station, the psychiatrist told him they had made no progress. Mike pleaded with Bradley. It took some coaxing, but she finally agreed to at least attempt to bribe the man with the powder. Mike was sitting on the same bench as before, staring in agony at the door. At first, he heard the clown's shrill laughter. Then, over the last few minutes, there were only muffled voices and a shuffling of chairs. After 15 minutes, Bradley came out, with all the color missing from her face. Like a zombie in a cheaply made film, she held up a single finger to Mike and got on her phone as she walked toward him. Barking orders to send an ambulance somewhere on Kedzie, she made eye contact with Mike. He stood.
Did you find her? Is she okay?
Putting the phone back in her pocket, she said,
We'll know in a few minutes. I'm sending a squad to the location right now.
That son of a bitch. What'd he do to her?
Mike stepped past her, heading to the interrogation room, intent on beating him to get the clown to speak. She reached out with her arm and spun him around. He had nearly 80 pounds on her, yet she controlled him as if he were a small child.
You can't go in there.
Her look froze him.
Why?
It's a crime scene now.
Did you?
He wiggled free from her grip.
Wait, you killed him to get him to talk? He's the only one who knows where my daughter is.
No, Mike, it was a suicide.
She shook her head, her disheveled hair covering part of her face.
I gave him the jar. He laughed that shrill laugh and then gave me the address. Then he...
Her hand clasped her mouth, taking a gasping breath.
Mike, the clown put the powder on his face and then turned skeletal.
What?
I know it's insane, but believe me, it happened. We have it on camera.
She stepped to the side, nodding.
Don't enter, but look for yourself.
Tingling all over, Mike took a hesitant step forward. Inside the small room, bones poked out of the lunatic's clothes.
Holy shit.
Bradley's phone rang before he could ask any more questions.
Yes?
She nodded as her forehead became a web of lines.
You're sure?
Her eyes grew wide.
Don't touch it. Understand? Nobody touches it until I get there. Lock down the scene. No one enters.
Seeing someone in authority rattled, Mike nearly shouted.
What is it? Is Viv okay?
Her eyes darted from left to right. Taking a deep breath, she said,
I think she can't be.
What does that mean?
She placed her hand on his shoulder.
Mike, this is going to be tough to hear.
Thinking of Vivian, he spat.
Tell me!
I know this is crazy, but that man told me he changed her into a doll so he could leave her alone without her escaping.
She closed her eyes before continuing.
Until I just saw him turn into a skeleton, I thought he was insane.
What? Are you saying he turned my girl into a doll?
The mannequin's smiling face flashed through his thoughts. He was missing something. This couldn't be. Even though both his gut and his mind told him he knew the truth. The rumors might not be false. Balzar could perform magic. If this were true, life would never be the same again, regardless of hope or desire.
I don't really know. The thing is, the officers on the scene say the only thing in the room is a doll wearing the clothes Vivian was abducted in. The doll matches her description, Mike.
She pulled out the jar from her back pocket.
He said this could save her. We need to try it. I don't know what else to do.
Mike stood frozen. All he could think of was the sad look on the mannequin's face in the museum and the article. Then he knew what he had read had to be real. He could actually perform magic. Frantically massaging the backs of his hands, he desperately wanted to run away from reality, trying to hide from the fear that was devouring him. When Bradley tugged his arm, he slowly followed her as he wept, hoping Balzar's final magic trick could make his daughter whole again.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And that was Balzar's Last Act by Jason Fisher. You know, Balzar might have an impressive bag of tricks, but he still couldn't stand up to his wife, could he? Lightweight. A little about the author. Jason Fisher is a horror and crime author specializing in anthologies. When not writing, you can find Jason biking the trails around his home, playing with his nephews, adding to his VHS collection, or on the deck feeding the deer and enjoying nature. I like to shoot deer myself, but everybody's got their own thing. This one's from his book, Your Place Is Here Now, which you can find at BaylocksBooks.com, and is coming soon on Audible. Thanks, Jason.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there. where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I guess this is where we part ways, at least till next week. So grab a drink for the road, friend. May the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. Or grab that rake right there and stay a while. Your choice. But until we meet again, y'all can go fuck yourselves. Ah, good night, y'all. Good night.
Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21+.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.